Tonight, Apple ramps up production for larger iPhone screens, Amazon Wallet launches, and making sense of Microsoft's and Apple's earnings. Tech News Tonight is next.
This is Twit.
This is Tech News Tonight, episode 134 for Tuesday, July 22nd, 2014. This episode is brought to you by Personal Capital. With Personal Capital, you'll finally have all your financial life in one place and get a clear view of everything you own. Best of all, it's free. To sign up, go to personalcapital.com/TN2. Hello, everyone. I'm Sarah Lane. I'm back from vacation, and I'm ready to talk news. So, on to the tech feed. Amazon's first mobile wallet application, Amazon Wallet, designed for use at the point of sale, is now showing up in the Amazon App Store and on Google Play, but it doesn't yet support mobile payments or the ability to store credit cards or even debit cards. The wallet, for now, stores and organizes gift cards and other loyalty cards. Amazon Wallet allows scanning or typing in your gift card or that loyalty card's information to, as it says, reduce the clutter in your leather wallet or purse. The cards are then available in a digital format as a barcode or a QR code or text or an image. The companion website is at amazon.com/wallet, where users can add other gift cards to accounts and manage payment methods like credit cards and debit cards and checking accounts, which can be used while shopping at Amazon.com, though again, not at the point of sale just yet. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that antitrust regulators in the European Union are set to step up investigations into Google, which may include revising some terms of a settlement announced back in February that dealt with concerns that the company abuses its dominance of online searches in Europe. Sources speaking to the journal say this is just one of a number of challenges that Google is facing in Europe. Other issues over corporate taxes and copyright issues to data privacy following revelations that the U.S. National Security Agency had spied on European citizens are on the table as well. A person speaking on account of anonymity told the journal that the commission recently sent out new requests for information from handset makers and other interested parties on their dealings with Android a year after sending out a first batch of questionnaires that, although the Android inquiry isn't a formal investigation, it may become one. We've got lots of news from Apple today, including their quarterly earnings report we'll be discussing a little later in the show. But first, some iPhone 6 rumors. The Journal is citing sources, Wall Street Journal, that claim Apple is asking suppliers to manufacture between 70 and 80 million units combined of two large screen iPhones, one with a 4.7-inch screen and a 5.5-inch screen, by December 30th. This is interesting because the number trumps the initial order last year of between 50 and 60 million versions of the iPhone 5S and 5C, both of which have 4-inch displays. Both of the coming models may feature metal cases, like the 5S does now, and come in multiple colors, said these sources. Apple's been granted a new U.S. patent filed back in 2011 for a, quote, wrist-worn electronic device and methods therefore. What does that sound like? It's described as a device which is even called iTime in at least one illustration that seems in line with rumors we've heard about this so-called iWatch. The invention is essentially a wrist-worn device that can connect with other portables, such as an iPhone or an iPad or a computer, or even the watch's straps, which integrates sensors and other circuitry to augment device performance. A follow-up from yesterday's story over some concerns that Apple has possibly worked with government agencies to provide backdoors into its products or services, stemming from a talk. Apple tells Renee Ritchie over at iMore, also a host of MacBreak Weekly, that indeed it has never worked with any government agency to create such a backdoor and that, quote, we've designed iOS so that its diagnostic functions do not compromise user privacy and security, but still provides needed information to enterprise IT departments, developers, and Apple for troubleshooting technical issues. A user must have unlocked their device and agreed to trust another computer before that computer is able to access this limited diagnostic data. The user must agree to share this information, and data is never transferred without their consent. Coming up, forget your PIN. Forget your Touch ID. A digital tattoo will now help unlock your phone. And after the break, we'll chat with Mashable's Jason Abruzzese a bit about the future of Microsoft and Yahoo, plus those Apple earnings. But first, let's talk about a free and secure tool, Personal Capital, that solves two barriers to growing your wealth. I have those barriers. First, it's hard to keep track of your stocks and your 401k, and maybe you've got multiple bank accounts. They're all on different sites. You've got usernames and passwords, and where do you store all of that stuff? Number two, maybe you pay somebody to manage all of this for you. Well, you're probably paying them too much, because Personal Capital brings all of those accounts and those assets onto a single screen that's on your computer or your phone or your tablet with real-time and intuitive graphs. In fact, recently, Personal Capital announced an award-winning app with Android Wear, which is available for download now on Google Play. It's a watch app. It integrates with Personal Capital on other Android devices and gives users timely updates, relevant updates on about their finances when you're on the go. For example, how much are you overpaying in fees? How do you reduce those fees? Also, tailored advice on optimizing your investment. So what are you waiting for? Signing up just takes just a minute, and it'll pay back in spades. Personal Capital gives you clarity and transparency to make better investment decisions right now. To set up your free account, go to personalcapital.com/TN and the number 2. Personal Capital is free, and it's a smart way to grow your money. Again, that's personalcapital.com/TN2, and we thank them for their support of Tech News Tonight. All right, joining us now is Jason Abruzzese, business reporter over at Mashable. Am I saying your last name right, Jason?
Close enough.
All right. We went through this before the show, and I knew I was going to choke. All right, well, let's start with those Apple earnings. Q3 earnings announced today. The company made money. As usual, investors seem disappointed. What can we actually glean from today's report?
I mean, Apple continues to be one of the most consistent companies out there. Expectations are always sky high, and they just came up a little short this time. In particular, iPad sales were a little weaker than expected. Tim Cook on the earnings call certainly seemed prepared to talk about it. It didn't seem to come as too much of a surprise to them. They blamed it on a little bit of seasonality, a little bit of softness in Europe and in the U.S. But he said that, you know, he sees that their recently announced deal with IBM to boost their enterprise business should, end up, really helping those iPad sales return to previous levels.
So iTunes billings grew 25% year over year. For iTunes, that seems pretty good. Where's this money coming from? Is this mostly apps? It's not probably not coming from music.
It would be a surprise if it was coming from music. Some of the other numbers that they threw around were that they've paid out $20 billion to developers, and they passed 75 billion app downloads. Those numbers certainly sound like keys to growth for iTunes, which has probably even helped offset some of the declines that people have seen due to popularity of streaming music services like Spotify or Pandora.
So does this... This is a quarter before what could potentially be a huge quarter for Apple. We don't know anything for sure, but also signs point to not just a new iPhone, perhaps a couple models, but new devices altogether. Does it make sense that Apple maybe would not have had such a gangbuster quarter?
Well, I think it absolutely does, and people have been waiting for new Apple products for quite some time. As you saw, that Wall Street Journal report already insinuates that Apple's expecting some pretty strong sales of these new phones. And I don't think there's too much coincidence there that those are bigger phones, borderline what people would call phablets. So if, I was a consumer thinking about getting an iPad mini and I knew that was coming out, maybe I put that off and I wait to see what this 5.5-inch iPhone's all about.
Well, let's move on to Microsoft now. The company had its Q4 earnings. We know CEO Satya Nadella has outlined the direction of the company that's going to include layoffs, not an insignificant number. How does the company look financially?
It still looks pretty strong overall. They reported revenue of $23.4 billion this year. People, I think, Microsoft's not the young, sexy company it once was, but it is still a stalwart in the software industry. That revenue number is up 18% compared to the same time last year. Most companies, would be pretty happy with that kind of increase. Profit, unfortunately, ended up being a little softer than the analysts had expected, part of that comes from some losses in its Nokia division, which it recently completed its acquisition of.
So, all right, Microsoft in the last year, really the last couple of years, but certainly last year, has really put an emphasis on the future of the cloud. How does the cloud business look going forward?
You know, it's starting to look pretty strong. Year over year, the number escapes off the top of my head. I think it was something like 170% increase in their cloud and enterprise revenue, which is the kind of growth you really want to see from a company like Microsoft in an area like cloud, where they're having to play catch up on, you know, some younger and more nimble competitors. You know, it also goes along with their new CEO, Satya Nadella, who used to run Microsoft's cloud operation.
You know, speaking of a company that's trying to catch up with other companies, my mind goes to Yahoo. You recently wrote an article called Marissa Mayer's two-year report card at Yahoo, C-. Well, that doesn't sound very good.
I would say that that's more based on the results of Yahoo, and that, you know, 2 years is not a long time to turn a company like that. And, you know, it was trying to be a fair, but it can be a harsh grade. You know, Yahoo just hasn't seen the bottom line changes that people had really hoped Marissa Mayer could instill. You know, revenue has been very stagnant, particularly as their competitors start growing in other important areas. And really the weakness in their core business is what's worrisome. The upside for them and the things that she's really, you know, started to do well are, you know, a focus on mobile, a little bit more focus on video. But those are the kind of things that are, you know, expensive to do. And she's also already playing from behind. So it's a challenging role. And I think that, you know, the recent Fleury acquisition is certainly a step in the right direction.
Of course, Fleury is a mobile analytics firm. And yes, just one of many acquisitions that the company's made since Mayer got on board as CEO. It's interesting that you say 2 years isn't necessarily enough time to turn around a company, especially because the core business seems like it's moving in a completely different direction. How do you see this play out? Do you see a report card that looks a lot different a year from now, 6 months from now?
You know, that's a really interesting way to put it, because it really could change that quickly. Marissa Mayer, ever since she's been there, has known that she's sitting on a cash stockpile in the form of Alibaba stock, stock of the Chinese e-commerce company that's going to be going public soon. Once she has that cash, she's going to have, and really has had, a lot more freedom to kind of pursue the areas that she thinks require the most attention. And I think this Fleury move, which is one of her biggest acquisitions to date, behind acquisitions like the Tumblr buyout, kind of speak to that she is going to be gearing up in hopefully the next 18 months to make a real run at the areas that she sees as the biggest weaknesses there.
Facebook has made huge strides in mobile, even though, you know, just a couple of years ago, Facebook seemed like it was really lagging in the mobile department. Do you think Yahoo, although it's a very different company or started as a different company than Facebook, could learn a few things from what Facebook has done with mobile and monetization?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, the way Facebook was turned to focus on mobile was pretty impressive. And, you know, that's like an AA+ territory on a report card. That's something that not every company is going to be able to do. Maybe not even every company should do. Yahoo was probably forced to play the hand, or Marissa Mayer was forced to play the hand that she was dealt, and kind of say to herself, all right, I have this core business. It's not doing great, but much like every other business, much like the cable industry, for instance, you know, there's going to be years and years of revenue down the line. There's no reason to necessarily abandon that. But Facebook is a good example of a company that has turned itself pretty quickly, and Microsoft as well is a company that's now focusing on cloud computing. You know, that was used to be a company where you bought their, you know, their software out of a box. Now you have to buy it on the internet. As Marissa Mayer, you know, continues to acquire companies and bolster her sales force, you know, Yahoo's, you know, prospects are far from dim, but she is playing against the clock now. She's up against a lot of competitors who are moving fast and you know, have names, you know, like Google and Apple and Microsoft.
Jason Abruzzese is the business reporter over at Mashable. Thank you so much for joining us, Jason, and let folks know how they can keep up with your work.
Thanks for having me. You know, head on over to Mashable. You can find all our stuff there, and I'm at Jason Abruzzese on Twitter. You should follow me for daily sports musings and the occasional tweeted story.
Sounds good. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks a lot.
All right, finally, I was mentioning a temporary tattoo. What could that possibly have to do with technology? Well, Motorola has teamed up with a company called VivaLink to allow its users to attach NFC-powered digital tattoos to themselves in case they forget their passcodes or their PIN passwords for unlocking devices. Does that happen to you? Doesn't really happen to me, but hey, the tattoo works a lot like Moto's Skip accessory. That one attaches to clothes, but of course this tattoo, it's around the size of a nickel and then placed somewhere on your body where you hold up your Moto X and unlock your phone. Now, according to VivaLink, the tattoo lasts 5 days and then you'll need to replace it, but you can purchase a 10-pack for $9.99. Just please choose your patch of skin wisely, or you're going to get really weird looks in the park. That's it for this edition of Tech News Tonight. Subscribe to the show at twit.tv/TN2. Write us at tn2@twit.tv. And don't miss Tech News Today. That's tomorrow and every weekday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. I'm Sarah Lane. It's good to be back. Thanks for watching.
Bandwidth for Tech News Tonight is brought to you by CashFly.com.